When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
Welcome to Season 5 of The Agile Brand with Greg Kilstrom, where we talk with enterprise and technology platform leaders about the people, processes, and platforms that make marketing and customer experience successful, scalable, and sustainable. This is what creates an agile brand. I'm your host, Greg Kilstrom, advisor and consultant for Fortune 1000 marketing and CX leaders and teams as principal and chief strategist at GK5A and best-selling author, keynote speaker, entrepreneur, and agile certified coach. The Agile Brand Podcast is brought to you by Tech Systems, an industry leader in full-stack technology services, talent services, and real-world application. For more information, go to teksystems.com. To sign up for the Agile Brand newsletter and get the latest insights and articles on marketing technology and CX, or to purchase a copy of my latest book, House of the Customer, go to gregkilstrom.com. You can also find all my books on Amazon and other retailers. And now on to the show. Today we're going to talk about successful BPO, or business process outsourcing, and what the enterprise can do to make it a win-win for the business and customers. To help me discuss this topic, I'd like to welcome Sarah Ellenberg, Vice President of Professional Services at Partner Hero. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Hey, Greg. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, looking forward to talking about this with you. Why don't we get started with you giving a little background on yourself as well as your role at Partner Hero.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, I'm the Vice President of Professional Services. I always like to say that can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But at Partner Hero specifically, Professional Services encompasses CX quality assurance, software quality assurance, workforce management, and project management. So I see those four departments, and we are primarily in service to our customer experience operations teams. So Partner Hero is a BPO in the space, and we do customer support, content moderation, trust and safety, back office. We'll talk more about all those different things, I think, later on in the show, but we do that for over 150 different companies. So my teams are essentially helping those teams run well and run smoothly. And so that's my role at Partner Hero. I'm on the BPO side, but before Partner Hero, I worked 7 years at Airbnb. And while I was there, I helped with the quality management from all the BPOs that we worked with. So I have experience on the BPO side and as a business, a very quickly scaling business using BPOs.
That's great. Nice. Well, yeah, let's get started by talking about exactly what we mean by BPO. You mentioned a few things that encompasses in as you're introducing yourselves, but want to dive a little deeper. So just to make sure everybody's on the same page, BPO, business process outsourcing, what are, you know, maybe some other common names for it, or what does it include?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the most simple way that I can explain it is basically one company hiring another company to do one of the essential functions for the primary company. Usually a BPO will meet with whatever company is wanting to outsource some of their functions and figure out what it is that they need, set up like an agreement of who needs to be hired, what functions they're looking at. And then the BPO handles all of the recruiting, hiring, managing, all of those functions. I've heard it called a lot of things, like customer service outsourcing, I think is one that we're all pretty familiar with. There's also different words for that, like contact center, call center, there's also outsourcing that goes beyond just customer support. So you can outsource trust and safety or finance and accounting or bookkeeping or back office. So pretty much any function within a company, there's going to be a BPO out there that you could hire them to do that full function.
Got it. Got it. So what are some of the benefits of BPO for businesses that utilize it effectively? And let's talk specifically about maybe the larger and the enterprise organizations here.
One of the things I think is efficiency. So if you think of everything that a company has to focus on to be a successful company, whether that's marketing, worrying about product releases, things like that. If you hire a BPO, they can focus on customer experience or whatever you're hiring them to do. So it makes it more efficient because you're not having to oversee like the management and the little, all the nuances of hiring and effectively managing something. One of the big ones I think that we can't shy away from is cost savings. So that can happen in a lot of different ways. But I would say a lot of it just has to do with the efficiency of being able to hire in maybe other areas, as opposed to most companies will hire just within like the area around them.
Yeah.
Another benefit, and this one like I'm really starting to see right now, is around flexibility for seasonal staffing. So if you think about some industries like anything in e-commerce or selling any type of product, you're going to see some seasonality and a spike in volume around the holidays. If you're talking fintech, you might see, you know, around tax time with like a little surge in volume, or maybe education technology, that's something that's cyclical with the school year. So if you think of that and how difficult it can be to scale up and then quickly scale down, that's one area BPO can really come in to help, because typically they can hire, you know, 50, 100 people for 3 months of the year, and then the BPO has other companies that they can then shift those people to. So those are, I think, some of the biggest areas that I see, if used effectively, where it can really make an impact.
Yeah. So, it sounds like there's a lot of internal challenges like efficiency and some of the other things that you mentioned, like seasonality and things. And so I could imagine some of those listening out there, you know, there's a lot of customer experience and marketing and really, you know, customer focused people listening out there, who may be thinking, you know, well, that's great for the internal operations of the company to be able to scale and contract and be more efficient and all those things. But, you know, what about the customer experience? You know, how can BPO help businesses improve that, those customer interactions and the customer experience?
Well, a lot of BPOs are, like, such as Partner Hero, they are experts in customer service and customer experience. There's one thing where you're just answering tickets and answering phone calls and getting through things. There's a whole nother world of how you can look at the customer experience really as like a growth mechanism. So if you have a lot of frontline agents, they're hearing directly from the customer. So by using a BPO to do this work, it kind of takes the question out of talking to the customer, because with the insights the BPOs can bring is looking at, you know, not just, like I said, not just answering the question, but also looking at, you know, what are some things that maybe are coming up in customer satisfaction surveys? Like, what are the things that customers are saying that could be improved from like a policy perspective, or like, you know, a website experience, things like that. If you have a BPO who's really focused on the customer experience, they're going to be able to bring those back to your company to say, this is what we're hearing. These are the things that your customer base is really either happy about or not so happy about. And then a company can take those and focus on implementing those changes.
Before we continue, I'd like to introduce you to a sponsor of the show, Partner Hero. Customer service outsourcing has long been available mainly to large enterprise businesses with long-term contracts and onerous procurement processes. Partner Hero is challenging business as usual and bringing the benefits of outsourcing to small and medium businesses as well as startups. With short, flexible contracts and fast ramp-up times, Partner Hero is making customer support outsourcing a viable option for small and medium businesses and startups. It's perfect for companies with seasonality expecting a temporary spike in volume or that simply need to scale up. And their focus on quality means your customers will get an experience that feels like it comes from your team. If you're ready to bring in outside customer support help for your company that feels like it's part of your existing team, check out Partner Hero. Head on over to partnerhero.com/agile, that's partnerhero.com/AGILE, to book a free consultation with their solutions team. Mention you heard about Partner Hero from the Agile brand and they'll waive the setup fee. Now let's get back to the show. And so, you know, with all the benefits, outsourcing sometimes gets a bad reputation as well, you know, particularly when it's not implemented effectively or things like that. What are some of those potential risks that that companies should be aware of with BPO? And what are maybe some common misconceptions that, you know, things that seem like risks, but really not as risky as they may seem?
Yeah. Yeah. Good question, because I agree with you. BPOs can get a not great reputation. And I think that highlights one of the things that I guess we could call this a risk, is a lot of the negative perception of BPOs is when cost is your only concern and you're looking for the absolute cheapest cost to do the business. And a lot of times, you know, that means it's saving your company business, but that also means, like, the flip side of it, you have, you know, you're having to pay really maybe not even market level wages to the people doing the role if you're, yeah, really, really, like, just having people work 100% of the time, no time for breaks, no time for lunches or anything like that. So I think that is where some, like, the negative reputation can come from, of just it being, like, an inhumane environment for people to work in. There are a couple other risks that I think are worth mentioning, like security risks. If you're a company, you're trusting another company and their employees to take on all of your, you know, a lot of your company data, a lot of your customer data. So making sure that whoever you work with, like, are, you know, you're kind of checking all those areas where security, how things are handled, how they handle your customer data, what they do in those situations. There's one other misconception or drawback, is there's, like, a fear that by outsourcing, you're eliminating jobs at the company. I would say this is, it's more about hiring people to do the more repetitive work that can happen, like, with customer responses. But that really frees up internal employees to make those changes that matter. Like, a little bit ago, I mentioned having feedback that can change processes or policies or things like that. Those are the things that your internal employees are going to be needed to do. So yeah, I think those are some of the drawbacks. I'm sure there are more, but I just off the top of my head, those are a few.
Yeah, yeah. So what can companies then, or businesses, do to mitigate some of those risks?
Well, I mentioned, like, with security, like having a clear outline, or maybe, like, your data protection officers meet with the BPO's data protection person and just make sure that all things are lined up and meet your needs. I would say considering a lot of other factors along with the cost. So I know that the cost, we can never just eliminate that from the equation, but being able to ask questions of the BPO to see if it lines up with your business, like, what are the BPO's values? Is this a partnership that will be, like, long lasting and meet my expectations as a business? Or is this something that, you know, has a short shelf life, which is typically not what you want when you join up with a BPO. So yeah, just asking questions, finding, kind of treating it like an interview. Like, if you're going to hire someone at your company, you're going to make sure you touch on all, like, the values and things like that. Do the same thing with a BPO. Just make sure that you're having clear conversations about what your expectations are and how the BPO is going to work.
Yeah. And so for those businesses that either are already relying or that need to rely on outsourcing to some degree, what are some best practices that you would recommend to implement BPO effectively?
Communication. That's a really big one. Just setting up expectations from the beginning of, like, this is how much we're going to communicate. This is what we want to hear from, you know, from, like, a reporting standpoint, or, you know, different aspects like that. Escalation plans. So this happens a lot of, like, you know, anyone doing customer service is eventually going to get a request about, how do I get a job at this company? Or I'm from the press and I have a question about this, or I want to, you know, work with your company. So anything like that, like just make sure that there's a point within your business that you know that the BPO can send those types of things to. I would say also streamlining the communication. I know this sounds like counterintuitive to what I just mentioned about communicating, but one area where I see the best success is having one or two people within your business being that point of contact for the BPO. If you have, you know, everyone in your business has the ability to reach out to the BPO, that can cause a lot of, you know, splintered direction, and people are hearing from multiple voices of what's a priority. So having that communication there, but having it very streamlined is a really, really good way to implement. And then I think I kind of touched on this, but having really clear expectations and measurements of success of what metrics, what KPIs you are interested in as your business, that way that your BPO can know exactly from the beginning what's expected.
Yeah. And as far as those measurements go, I mean, at the beginning of the show, you mentioned some things like efficiency and some other things. Mm-hmm. Do those metrics vary widely? Are there some common themes in those measurements that you see?
Yeah, I think you're asking me for a bunch of acronyms here. but I'll break it down. Like in the customer experience world, there's some things like a quality assurance score. So that's like, you know, when you score someone doing the work, what the score they get. But a lot of common ones are like average handle time for a phone call or an email. Yeah. How fast to respond to the call. Like how long did someone have to wait to get an answer? That's usually called first response time. There's a few other metrics like occupancy, which is just what percent of time someone is available to take calls or emails or chats. So those are some common ones. I think I could dig into more, but I'd say those are like the top three or four of ones, especially if it's customer service outsourcing. For other outsourcing functions, I'm not as familiar with those, but that could just be like, you know, productivity metrics, like we expect you to complete this many invoices in a day or something like that.
Yeah, got it. So let's talk a little bit now about the future of outsourcing. So, you know, certainly you've been working with a lot of organizations and see a lot of things, and certainly Partner Hero doing this a lot certainly has a perspective on that. So, you know, what do you see as what the future holds for BPO? Is it more of the same, so to speak, or are there evolutions that are currently in progress that you're excited about?
Yeah, I'd say that there's already an evolution that I've seen happen just over the last probably 5 to 6 years where BPOs are a little more custom, a little more boutique, a little more like brand aligned than just we can answer your tickets or we can answer your phone calls. There's along this evolution, like I kind of touched on it, but finding a values-driven BPO that is in line with a business's values, that's more important now than ever. So I see that as a shift. There's also, and this is something that we do at Partner Hero, and I know a lot of other BPOs are doing this well too, but just looking out for like the well-being of associates, of the agents, like the people doing the work. You see, you know, a lot of, I would say this is more content moderation and trust and safety, but sometimes, as an example, those people are the ones essentially filtering the internet for the rest of us. So they're looking at a lot of potentially disturbing, gruesome things throughout the day, but being able to recognize that these are humans, they need to be supported, and offering things like, you know, on-demand wellness counseling or therapy or benefits that provide mental health coverage and things like that. That's becoming more and more common, but like 10, 15 years ago, you never heard about that. So that's, I think, a really important evolution to mention of just it's becoming more humane, if you will. So yeah, I think I think it's a really, really good direction. And it equals happy employees, which is what we all want to be, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. What about artificial intelligence? Certainly, you know, it comes, I feel like I have to ask the AI question in every episode these days. It's like obligatory, but there's a reason for it. You know, it's also, there's been a lot of innovations and a lot of adoption in that space. You know, where does AI play into BPO?
It plays in a lot of ways. And I think it's a really exciting thing to embrace from the BPO side. There's some fears, and I think this goes beyond just BPO, of like AI is going to replace humans and things like that, which that's the furthest thing from the truth. I think AI can really help teams become more efficient and can really allow people to focus on like the decision and critical thinking that are needed in cases where it is a very complex situation. But, you know, there's a lot of AI tools right now for customer experience that kind of combs through content like a knowledge base that explains the answers to questions the customers will have. So instead of the agent having to spend all that time thumbing through it, it's like, boom, you just have that right at your fingertips. So customers are getting faster answers. Agents are not having to do some more of this like tedious work. That's one small example of how I'm seeing it play out with BPOs. But yeah, I think just the efficiency and taking out those monotonous tasks. And it's going to up-level the type of work that agents get to do, that they get to spend their time thinking about. Of course, I can't mention AI without, you know, the cost consideration. I think in the long run, it will definitely help things scale up quicker by having AI as like your little helpful buddy there.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for joining the show. I've got one last question before we wrap up here. So you've given a lot of great advice already for organizations that are either thinking about implementing BPO, want to improve it. But, you know, what's one piece of advice that you would have for those organizations that they can do today that to make a step towards more effective outsourcing while not sacrificing the customer experience?
I think look for a BPO that takes care of its people and its employees, because I wholeheartedly believe that the way that an employee has a sense of belonging where they work, where they know that they can grow, they can listen, like their ideas are heard, there's career progression for them. If you can find a BPO that is taking care of their people very well, then you know that those people are going to be taking care of your customers very well, because they are going to be, you know, have all the tools that they need, get breaks when they deserve them, get time off, have lots of benefits. So that's something that's probably really overlooked, like when people are doing different searches for BPOs. So I think that's like a secret way just to kind of find out a little bit more about a BPO and what they can offer.
Wonderful. Well, again, I'd like to thank Sarah Ellenberg, Vice President of Professional Services at Partner Hero, for joining the show. You can learn more about Sarah and Partner Hero by following the links in the show notes. Thanks again for listening to the Agile Brand with Greg Kilstrom podcast, brought to you by Tech Systems. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to subscribe on your podcast channel of choice and leave us a rating so that others can find the show more easily. You can access more episodes of the show at www.gregkilstrom.com. That's GREGKIHLSTROM.com. To get a copy of my latest book, House of the Customer, visit my website, or you can find it on Amazon or other retailers. The Agile Brand is produced by Missing Link, a Latina-owned, strategy-driven, creatively-fueled production co-op. From ideation to creation, they craft human connections through intelligent, engaging, and informative content. Until next time, stay agile.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.